So a couple things here before we get rolling along here. Going to give you a little lesson in a couple Haitian phrases since Benny was talking about Haiti. Been down to Haiti a couple times myself. It's worshiping in a spot where you don't understand anything, but yet you're still worshiping the same God. That's the key. But Mercy Jay-Z. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy Jay-Z. It's kind of like, hey, I'm no expert, but they speak like Creole. So it's French, but a different dialect, like all the languages of the world, you know? So Mercy Jay-Z is thank you, Jesus. And then Benny Swallow to Nail is praise the Lord. It sounds like, I remember it by Benny Swallowed the Nail. That's what it sounds like. But it's like Benny Swallowed the Nail, and it's praise the Lord. I think that's I'm pretty sure that one's praise the Lord. But so just a little story on Haiti. The first time I was down Ocean City, Maryland. It was a Sunday morning. Man, Leroy Davis from Baltimore was over. Lord used him to bring a message that morning. And he mentioned about going to Haiti leaving the following Friday. So as we're sitting there, and the Lord says to me, you're going on that missions trip. I'm like, Lord, I don't even have a passport. So I went up to Leroy afterwards and said, hey, Leroy, I think I'm supposed to be the 12th person to go with you, because it was 11. And Leroy said, I knew the Lord was going to send 12. So he said, yeah, go ahead, if you can get everything together. So needless to say, Monday morning, we were driving back up here. I think Wednesday, I jumped on the train, went down to the customs down in Philadelphia, had all my paperwork lined up, everything, standing around talking to everybody, and they're like, oh, there ain't no way. You're waiting 2 weeks at least, you know. They're not going to give you a passport. I said, well, all I know is I'm supposed to be in Haiti come Saturday morning. So, sure enough, hand my paperwork in. We can't tell you how long it's going to be. There's probably about a four-hour wait right now before we can tell you anything. So, I said, all right, that's fine, whatever, you know. Hung out. 45 minutes later, they call my name. I go up. The lady says, I don't know how this came so fast, you know, but here you go. I said, well, I'm supposed to be down in Haiti on Saturday morning. And she's like, well, obviously you are, you know, and put my papers in my pocket and my passport, went back to the train station, jumped on the train, and I was home by lunchtime or at least 1 o'clock, you know. So that's the thing, you know, when the Lord wants you to go somewhere, when he speaks it to you, he's the one that put the plan in motion. You know, all you got to do is hang on for the ride. You might have to do some things. I wasn't going to just wait for a passport to show up in my mailbox, you know, but I had to go get the passport. But so it's my little Haiti story. And outreach. Matt was talking about outreach. We gather. We come in to go out. Sometimes the church gets caught up in we come in and we stay in and we never go out. But we come in to go out. You're reading the New Testament. They didn't have and I'm not saying that it's a bad idea to gather together and have and go out and have outreach programs and different things and stuff like that. But they gathered together to edify the church, to build the church up, to edify one another. And then as they went out into the marketplace and did their daily things, they took the Lord with them, and that's where they went out. Same with Jesus when he walked the earth. You know, I mean, he had more ministry in the marketplace and on the streets, you know, than he did, you know, ever behind closed doors. When he was in the synagogue, most of the time they wanted to take him and throw him off the cliff or stone him to death. So, just a couple little thoughts. Anyways, I'll be reading in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 today. I'll do some reading. We'll see how it goes here, but how the Lord leads it. But, okay, so kind of like sometimes you get some things before you, you know, and you're not sure what to do. You know, Wait and hear for the Lord. I'm a big one on waiting on the Lord. I'm a big one on waiting. Because if you don't wait and you go before you're supposed to go, when you get where you're supposed to be, the provision's not going to be there. But I'm also on when you wait and you receive the word, then you have to go when you receive the word. Because if you wait in fear too long and you don't move once you've received the word, when you show up again, the provision's going to be gone. So you have to wait, get your word, and then move forward. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So here he is, Jehoshaphat's the king of Judah, okay? And he hears about all these groups, all these other nations gathering together to come against him, okay? So what's the first thing Jehoshaphat does? It says Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid. I mean, you hear this great army's coming against you, and it's like, uh-oh. What am I going to do? What was the first thing he did? Set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast in all of Judah. He told himself, all right, I got to seek the Lord on this. He could have went and talked to his captains. He could have went and talked to the military leaders. He could have went and talked to a whole bunch of people about it. But he set himself to seek the Lord. First thing he wanted to find out was, okay, God, what do you say about this situation? All right. And he also said to the people around him, all right, we're going to declare a fast because I want all you people to fast and see what the Lord says to you also. You know, I mean, he could have said, all right, let's go. We got to start preparing. We got to start training. Okay, let's call all the army together, all the men who are able to fight, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what kind of weapons do we got? What kind of gear do we got? But the first thing he did was sought the Lord. We need to do that sometimes too. You know, we run into a little problems or not even just problems, but decisions that need to be made. And sometimes we gather together and we start talking like, okay, well, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Before we even seek the Lord. I mean, he's got all the answers for us. He's the first place we should always go. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Okay? And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. For your name is in this temple, and you cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. So, first thing he does when they gather together is kind of like, sounds like he's kind of reminding God who he is. But he's also reminding himself who God is and reminding the people that he's gathered around. And he's also mentions the promise here, okay? Verse 7, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? So he's asking a question, like he's asking a question to God, which he is. But he's also, it stirs up inside of him, hey, remember? God's the one who drove out these inhabitants before you when you guys came into the promised land, okay? And he's the one who gave it to you and all the descendants of Abraham forever. So when we need to seek the Lord, you know, sometimes we got to remember who the Lord is, okay, and what he's done for us in past seasons, all right? Remember the miracles that he's done yet for you. Remember the times when you've had a hard time and you didn't have quite the finances that you needed to pay some bills and miraculously things appeared. You know, the times when your kids were sick and you were praying for them and the Lord touched them, and the fever left them, and they were fine the next morning when they got up. The times you needed a job, and you were seeking, or you had a few job offers before you, and you said, all right, Lord, I don't know which one to pick. And the Lord told you which one to pick. So it helps to stir up faith in you, I believe that's what was going on here, as he was putting these questions to God, but he was also reminded, because he knew what the answers were, you know? I mean, yeah, he was asking, you know, God, aren't you the God, you know? Well, hey, sometimes I find myself saying, aren't you the God who created all this universe, who set all those stars exactly where they're supposed to be, and all those planets exactly where they're supposed to be, set the exact amount of oxygen on this earth, this planet right here, where if it was a little less, we couldn't survive in this perfect atmosphere that he created? So let's go on here. So, and then he says in verse 10, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. So he says, Lord, when we came into this land, you told us, these people that are coming against us now, you told us not to go in and to push those inhabitants out. You told us to let them be. Now, here they are. We let them alone when you destroyed all the other inhabitants of the land. But yet you chose not to destroy these inhabitants. And now here they are gathering against us to come and push us out of the land. You know, what a reward. What a payment. Gee, thanks, guys. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. See, verse 12 is a key one, okay? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Sometimes we go to God and we go to God in prayer, but we already think we have the answers. And we kind of like make a plan and then we ask God to bless it. Instead of going to the Lord and asking the Lord what the plan is, and then implementing the plan, and he blesses it as we implement it. Follow me on that kind of? You know, we're here because we never come to this hopelessness, and our pride deceives us, and we never come to this point to say, Lord, I have no power against this great multitude, whatever the great multitude might be. Lord, I don't have the answers. I don't have a clue, Lord, what I'm going to do or how this is going to come to pass. Why? Because we're people. We don't like to admit that we don't know. I mean, how many times do you like to tell people, well, I just really don't know? Right? Especially if you're married. But it's the truth. Okay? When we say that, it humbles us. Because it says in James, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that word in there, resists, when you go back into the original language, it's a military term. So it says that God resists you like an enemy when you're proud. So here the king was, the king of all people, okay? The king. It would be like the president of the United States, you know, Donald Trump saying, well, we got the Russians, we got the Chinese, we got North Korea, we got Iran, and all the Middle East, the Arab countries coming against us, and I just don't know what to do. Gee, that would give you a vote of confidence on TV if you were watching that in the State of the Union address, huh? Right? Oh, wow, that's great, Donald. Wow, you know? Right? So here's this king saying, you know, I have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do. You know? I mean, that's a great place to be if you ask me. That's a great place to be. The problem is we just, sometimes our pride holds us from being in that place. Because the next part of that is, but. You know, so let's go here. It says, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, comma, but our eyes are upon you. You know, it's okay to say to people, no, I don't know what to do. I don't know. But my eyes are upon the Lord for an answer. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the might to do it. I don't have the answers to do it. I don't know. Because if you're in that position and you remain proud and you move forward, you're going to make a mistake. Believe me, I could list the mistakes. Okay? I could list them. Been there many times. Got the t-shirt. Wish I didn't have the t-shirt. You know? It's the truth. Move forward. Make a mistake. Instead of waiting and admitting, no, I don't know what to do. And that's where sometimes, like, sometimes even that comes into effect where, like, we're seeking the Lord answers, comes through for us, and then we get into a situation again, and we presume that the Lord's going to answer the same way that he did before. You know, it's like, okay, when we had Jackie at home, number seven, after six C-sections and the doctors saying, you know, hey, you'll never give birth naturally. And the Lord said, you're going to have her at home. You're not going to go to the doctor. You're not going to do nothing. You're just going to seek me. You're not going to read any books. You're not going to do nothing. And that's what we did. And sure enough, there was Tina and I and the Lord in the room, delivered Jackie. I never delivered no baby before, you know, but it was the Lord. The Lord told me what to do. The Lord took care of it. I didn't know what to do. I listened to him, and he didn't want us to read any books because afterwards and things and stuff like that, everybody's like, oh, you must have really read up and got educated on all that so you knew what to do. And I said, no, I didn't do anything except for listen to him. That way he got all the glory about it. But so then, okay, next time comes along for the next one, and it's like, okay, we could have did it the same exact way. We could have just automatically said at the beginning, okay, well, you know, Lord wants us to have them all at him this way. You know, but we didn't, because you have to seek him for each situation to find out the answer for that situation, because he doesn't always answer the same way. Never, never. And all you got to do is look back on your past experiences. Okay. He might answer over here one way, and if you try and employ it, it's not going to work, but he gives an answer. Because why? Because if he answered the same way, I mean, how much dependent would we have to be upon him? We wouldn't. If it was easy as implementing a program, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, A, B, C, D, E, F, and bang, it was done. Why would we have to be dependent upon him? Why would we have to seek him? We wouldn't, because we would know exactly which steps to do. Bang, it's a 12-step program, bang, and we're done, and you get the same results all the time. That's not God. So when you come to a point where you're facing something, whatever it is, whether it's a great obstacle and a mountain before you, or something as simple as you need a small answer to something that you're not quite sure what to do. And I'm not talking about your socks in the morning either. But, you know, you come to hopelessness. You say, Lord, this is a great multitude. I have no power, and I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That's the important part. Not getting upset, not worrying about it, but saying, my eyes are on you. I'm going to put it in your hands, Lord. So let's go on here. Verse 13. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benani, the son of Jael, the son of Mattani, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It's not our battle. It's God's battle. If God gives you something to do, it's not your job to figure out how to do it. It's your job to figure out. It's not your job to figure out how to do it. It's your job to seek him so that he tells you how to do it. Because, and he's going to do it. Okay, he uses people. He doesn't have to, but he uses us, men and women, okay? And he tells us things to do, but he wants the glory. So if he gave the charge, he's the one that's going to meet it. If he told you to do something, you know, wait upon him. He'll give you the answer for it and move forward because He wants all the glory for it. And he will supply everything as it goes along. Tomorrow, so he says, the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them, against all those that are gathered. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them there at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. You got all these enemies, all these nations gathered in front of you, all these people coming with all their implements of war. And the Lord says, you don't have to fight. You won't have to fight. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. I love that verse. Who is with you, O Jared, Judah, and Jeremiah, and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohorites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barak, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Barak until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So, the Lord said, I got this covered. It's my battle, it's not yours. They went out, they praised the Lord, and when they started singing, the enemies killed themselves. All of them. All the enemies. None of them got away. Not one of them. I mean, how'd it come down, and here's the last two guys, and they're battling, and they stabbed each other at the same time? I mean, I don't know. Think about it, you know? I mean, but they were all dead, every one of them. None of them got away. And what did Israel, and what did Judah have to do? Obey the Lord. And who got the glory out of it? God. Now, what would have happened if it would have taken a different course? And at the beginning of it, excuse me, Jehoshaphat would have said, all right, what do we got in the armory, guys? Let's get all the young men from this age to that age, anybody who's able to battle, let's get them. What do we got here? What do we got? What would have happened if he wouldn't have took his time and waited on the Lord and sought the Lord out and humbled himself? They would have been destroyed. No doubt about it. Judah would have been destroyed. So sometimes as we go, you know, how are you going to explain to your family or the rest of the people around you and things and stuff like that? Like, you know, because guaranteed, I mean, okay, they were all gathered together, but they're people. We're people, okay? Hey, here's the plan that the Lord's got. And some people get fearful, you know? Some people get worrisome. You know, so, you know, you're looking for an answer and you tell your family and, you know, hey, this is the answer. And they kind of like, huh, what? You know, well, you got to have a little grace with them. You got to have a little mercy on them, you know, and just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's kind of like if you read, this happens multiple times through the Old Testament. And it's there as examples for us to see God's strength, to see his power, to see how he fulfills things. You know, I mean, look at Gideon, okay? Started out with, I think it was 30,000 and wound up with 300. And they had trumpets and pots with oil in them. And they went to go battle. Imagine that, huh? Imagine that. I mean, now we're going to leave the Tomahawk missiles back here, and we're going to leave the M1 Abrams tanks and everything and stuff like that, guys, and we're just going to take these trumpets. And we're going to go out against Russia, and we're going to defeat Russia, because the Lord said. Put yourself in these shoes sometimes as you read these things and wonder, you know, take yourself out of here and put yourself back in there. And see, you know, what would you think? How would you act? But so as we, this is a, you know, this is like a, like an example, okay, of what to do, all right? So you got something going on before you, you need some answers. Seek the Lord. Number one, seek the Lord. Wait and wait and wait and wait until the answer comes. Because you don't want to be presumptuous. You don't want to move forward without hearing from him. In anything. I've done it with jobs before, you know. You know, it's just, you know, many different things. Many different things. It saves a lot of heartache. It saves a lot of problems. It just, it does. It saves you from a lot of mistakes. You know, so let's see here. Let's just quick overview. You know, so seek the Lord. Gather those who are involved around you also to pray and fast and seek the Lord. Okay, that's happened many times, even in our own country's history. You know, as far as if you go back in history, there were presidents who declared fasts at times in our nation that were, I mean, Lincoln was one of them. And he declared a day of fasting because the country was at a very pivotal time. So seek the Lord, get those around you to gather with you, declare fast, and seek the Lord. Okay. Then as you're seeking him, remind yourself of who he is and what he's done before for you. To build faith inside of you. To remind yourself of the promises that God has told you, whether it's the written word or the spoken word that he's told you before or showed you or revealed to you. The promises, the prophecies that he spoke over you, things like that, you know. Remind yourself. Remind yourself. And then also it helps to build up the faith of those around you also that are seeking this answer with you, that it builds up their faith. Then remember that, you know, come to a place of hopelessness, because that's where he's perfect at answering prayers in hopelessness. Because if it's not hopeless, you're still trying to find answers on your own. That's one thing with going to other countries, you know, like especially down in Haiti, okay? I'll bring Haiti up again. But they have nothing. They have absolutely nothing, you know? It's poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, you know? Government doesn't let a lot of people leave. They do some, you know, but like the native pastor that we know down there, Pastor Luke, he comes here. They let him come to the States because they know when he comes back, he's bringing things. He's bringing money and stuff. But like when you fly into Haiti, all the trees are completely cut off all the land because they've completely raped all the resources of the land. Farmers, they in the hills, they like terrace it, you know. But then when they get all the rains, it all just washes out. You know, and then they got to go back and they got to redo it again. But those people have faith. They have a lot more faith than we do. I'll tell you that much. Because they have nothing else. They have hopelessness. They have nothing to hold on to. They've gotten to the end of the ropes. You hear about miracles, people being raised from the dead, you know, people growing limbs back, things like that. Because they don't put their trust in man. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctors. We have doctors. If the Lord tells you to go to the doctors, go to the doctors. If he tells you not to go to the doctor, don't go to the doctor. But seek him and find out what you're supposed to do. But when you come to the end of your rope, you got no more rope to hang on to. Everybody's seen the cartoon, you know, you're hanging at the end of that rope. Where are you going to go? The only place you can do, the only thing you can do is let go and fall into the hands of the Lord. Hopelessness, we kind of put like hopelessness, like it's a bad thing to be hopeless. Not when you got Jesus. Because he's got the answers. So it's kind of like you get into that situation and instead of being fearful, you let faith arise inside of you and say, you know what? My daddy's got this. He's got it. He's got it covered. But don't be presumptuous either to say like, all right, well, I know exactly what to do in this situation and have not heard from the Lord yet. Then, so you seek the Lord. The answer comes. Okay, here the answer came. And from the son of Zechariah, gave him what to do. They went and did it. There was no backup plan. Sometimes the Lord gives us an answer, but we like to have plan B just in case. Well, how many times has God not come through? Anybody know the answer to that? How many times? Zero. Exactly. He might not come through when we think he should come through. I know that's happened in my life many times. He hasn't come through when I thought he should have. But you know one thing? He's never been late. Ever. Ever. Never, ever, ever been late. We just got to learn patience. Sometimes we're too impatient. And then we get impatient. And we get pressure from others around looking for an answer. And instead of saying, I still don't know it, we feel that we're supposed to move, and we move. And what happens? What happens in that situation? King Saul lost his kingship. There they were gathered. Samuel said, the prophet said, don't go to battle until I show up and make the sacrifice. They're hanging out. The troops are getting a little restless. People are starting to be like, yo, you know, there's the enemy, you know, they're all prepared. What are we going to do? Hey, we're just hanging out. We're waiting for the prophet. We're waiting for the prophet. The pressure got a little bit heavier and heavier. And Saul said, yo, go get me an animal. We'll do the sacrifice. He ain't showing up. Yeah, who showed up as soon as the sacrifice was done? The prophet. And what happened? Saul, because you didn't wait, you're going to be replaced. So, we got to implement it, wait, and if you haven't heard anything, don't move forward. Then, implement when you hear, implement the plan, put it into effect, and watch the Lord slay all your enemies. Watch him give you all the answers that you need in those situations that you are in. No matter how big or small it is. Okay, Lord, how should I handle my 13-year-old son? Because he's not like my other 13-year-old son was. Because all your kids are different. Lord's going to give you different things to handle with your children. All of them different because they're all different. They're not the same, once again. So then when the Lord destroys the enemies before you, be prepared to take the spoils. These guys came, their enemies came to fight. Okay? So you're going out to fight. It says here, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Why did these guys go to battle and have an abundance of valuables and precious jewelry on them? Why? That just doesn't make sense to me. If I was going to war, I think I'd travel light. I definitely wouldn't be bringing my mother's fine china and silverware, you know? But why? Because the Lord had it arranged. He had it arranged. And then when the children of Judah came in and took all that spoil for 3 days and took it back, do you know what kind of provision was provided in that? The same provision that when Joseph and Mary were in the stable. Well, actually, it wasn't in the stable, because when the wise men came to them to bring them, the three wise men, you know, Jesus was probably about 2 years old, as they kind of estimate. But what happened after he received those things, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, okay, when the three wise men left their gifts? That night, Joseph had a dream, and the angel said to him, take the child and go to Egypt. He had the provision. It was provided. It was right there. And what did Joseph have to do? All he had to do was obey. Like he had up to that point. So there's the provision. Here's their provision. Man, that guaranteed what they took off of those three armies. Man, Judah's wealth just went whoop. They had to go to the bank that morning, the following weekend, and make quite a big deposit. And then they worshiped the Lord. And it says, verse 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemy of Israel. So that's the end. All the other enemies of Israel that were still there, that thought maybe like, let's hang back and see what happens here with these three guys first. And if they beat Israel up pretty good, we'll come in behind them and we'll give Israel a couple shots and take whatever's left over. Well, when the word got out on the street, them boys were like, no way, man. We don't want nothing to do with Judah. We don't want nothing to do. Do you know what their God did for them? Do you know? Not only did their God... they didn't even have to lift a finger in battle. Their God took care of all the armies. And do you know what they took away with them? Man, there ain't no way. Don't mess with them guys. Don't get on the wrong side. Because if their God gets mad, forget it. The enemy will quake and tremble and run in the opposite direction when God does something for you. And then that thing will end, and sure enough, a little while later, another thing will come again that you need to seek the Lord and put the whole process back into effect again, because he wants us dependent upon him. That's the whole thing with it. He wants us dependent upon him because he loves us so much, and you love it when your kids, I got two of them married now, and I love it when they come. Jesse and Robbie came over the other night. They called and said, hey, excuse me. People don't call nowadays. They send a text and said, hey, you guys going to be home? We need to talk to you about something. It was nothing major, but it tickled my heart, man. It brought joy to me, you know, that here, you know, my 23-year-old daughter and her husband, you know, that are out on their own, got a house, everything, good jobs, you know, pregnant with the third grandchild coming and stuff like that, but came home to sit down and to talk to mom and dad and get a little advice. Your daddy up there loves it when you come to him for advice. And he loves to reveal himself to you and how powerful and mighty he is. So, with that said, whatever you got standing before you, go home. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And as you do, make it a prayer. Make it your prayer. And then, when he answers, you can declare from the rooftops so that he'll get all the glory. Father, you're so wonderful, magnificent, and perfect. Lord, thank you that you're not like us, Lord. You're not like man, but you are God Almighty, creator of the heavens, the universe, and everything in it. All the animals, all the mountains, all the birds, everything, Lord. The sun, the moon, the stars. And you own the cattle on the hills, Lord, and you own the hills too. It's all yours. But I thank you, Lord, that you chose to reveal yourself to us. Help us, Lord, to seek your face more than ever before. Even for the little things. Not just the big things, but even for the little things, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. I ask you to bless each one here, Lord. Put your hand of protection around their families and around them and around their marriages, relationships, Lord. And bless them, great and mightily. And fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that as they go into each and every situation and each person they meet as they go out of this place, that they can have some God encounters. As they take the fruit basket that you've given them and they take pieces of that fruit and distribute it to all that they come in contact with. So they have an empty basket at the end of the day and you can fill it up tomorrow morning for them. And they can share your fruit once again with those around them. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.